Triple M Rocks Saturday Arvo Footy. Triple M Rocks the Footy. For Harvey Norman Home Appliances. In the beginning, it was a game. Balls were kicked. Weekends filled. Time passed. But over time, it became more than just a game. Passion grew. Legends were born. Heroes created. Over a century later, it's in our blood. Rugby League now. Welcome. This is Triple M Footy.
Lovely to have your company on a Saturday afternoon as we head towards kickoff. It is the Gold Coast Titans taking on the Knights of Newcastle at Cbus Super Stadium. Kickoff at 3 o'clock. Sterlo will be in to call that game. He'll join us at 2:30 to preview that and others as well. Play a bit of Peter Sterling personal mastermind. We'll chat with Freddie Fittler shortly. Speaking of, before we get into the origin, maybe just a quick from you, Gerds.
Yes.
And others. When we last week, you gave us your origin side, and there's been a lot of talk, a couple of things here. The utility of the New South Wales, with Cam Smith not there, let's start with the hookers. There's all the talk was going to be Cam McGuinness there, and there was going to be two hookers.
Damien Cook on the bench,
or the other way around. Is that still the need to carry those two players, do you think?
Well, I guess more to the point is someone else knocking on the door, and can they be refused entry? Because at the moment, the way Tyrone Peachey's playing and the utility value that he brings, I think, you know, Danny Badiris, the good thing about New South Wales is Freddie's got Danny Badiris, one of the best players to ever, you know, New South Wales hookers to ever play the game. So I'm sure that he's well across who's in better form if they go with one and who can handle the 80 minutes, because Bedsy played over 20 origins. And then whether or not they go with two, or whether they put someone like Tyrone Peachey in that 14 jersey who they believe could come on it. And if, you know, if it was to be Cook or McGuinness and he looked after 30 minutes like he was, you know, doing a little bit tough, you could put Peachey and you could put him on there, but he also covers, you know, the halves and the outside backs as well. So there's not, I can't remember a more versatile player in our game, and he plays with, you could play back row, you know, you don't have many guys that could play sort of centre wing, back row, half hooker and fullback at a pinch. He's quite versatile and he's in great form, so he's really going to be hard to ignore.
He's electric. I just love watching him play. You just want to see, he's one of those blokes who you just want the football in his hands, Tone. And he's just always around the ball when he's not supposed to be. And he really does have fantastic footballing instincts. But in relation to the battle to wear the New South Wales number nine, there is literally a develop print photograph in it, the way that I see it. Like, so you look at Cameron McGuinness, was in fantastic touch and still is, but brilliant form over the opening couple of months of competition. Comes up against Cam Smith when the Dragons are playing Melbourne at Cogra, and probably emerges with a bit of a points victory during that game. Scores a great try and is otherwise very busy, and you know, shows his toughness, and then also what he can do in terms of when his team's got the ball. Then the Dragons play South Sydney last week, and Damien Cook probably gets a points victory over McGuinness. So it's going to come down to, as you touched on, Gerds, you know, Danny Badiris, been there and done it on all levels for so many years. He'll have a huge influence, I'm sure, and perhaps they might decide that in light of the Cameron Smith development, well, maybe we do try and roll with just a one hooker, and we hope that whoever it is, they can punch out the 80, or if not close to that. And then that allows you to have somebody like Tyrone Peachey in the 14.
The thing also with Peachey, and we've seen it in the past, he's been playing a fair bit of 5-8 at the moment because of the injuries, but now Cleary's back and he's moved out of the centres. But before that, over the last couple of weeks, even when he came on off the bench, he's a guy that creates something out of nothing. So he's not just a guy that you sort of have on your bench in case someone gets injured. He's actually a guy that you bring on when you need something. Mm. And I think at that level, he's played under Freddie at City a couple of times. So I know that, you know, he's obviously a fan. He's a great guy to have in your team and around the group as well. And I just don't know whether they can ignore his form any longer. At least he'll go in as 18th man if they do go with, you know, two hookers.
You go back to, there's a game where the Panthers hosted the Bunnies at the start of the year. I think it was round two.
Yep.
And Souths were on fire. They came out and Sammy Burgess was carving them up or bulldozing them the way that he does. And the Twins were going really strongly and the Bunnies were just playing fast and up-tempo and really quick play the balls. And the Bunnies were in front and they looked as though they were going to go on to victory. And then with 10 minutes to go, Anthony Griffin goes to his bench. At that point, there was no place in the Panthers starting 13 for Tyrone Peachy, and he came on and won the game single-handedly, Tony. Just came on, was around the ball, made something out of nothing, and that's what he can do. And you'd have to think that he's been in such strong form this season for the Panthers. He'll translate it. He's just a sort of laid-back bloke. He'll translate that into the Origin arena, and that's a hell of an asset to have.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what Brad Fittler does. Whatever he does, obviously, it won't be enough. Queensland are the more powerful. They're ready to go. Hashtag talk the Maroons up. I just can't see how, no matter what he does, the New South Wales can have a
win. Well, if you go through that Maroons backline, Tony, Billy Slater, world champion, future immortal. Greg Inglis, world champion, future immortal. Dane Gagai, Wally Lewis, medal player of the series last year. Will Chambers, Australian centre. Cameron Munster,
man of the match last year.
In game three,
the decider. Ben Hunt, the in-form halfback of the competition. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, rugby league's a funny
Matt
game,
Scott,
guys. You know,
best prop in the game for the last five seasons.
Yeah, he's been coming for an injury, but.
He's what?
Dylan Napa, probably the form front runner in the competition at the moment.
Played for the Kangaroos last season.
Hashtag
won a grand final.
Talk the Maroons up.
I like how you guys are trying to deflect, you know. You're a bit cocky last year after the first one. What happened to those guys who were like...
Saturday Triple M NRL. We'll be back shortly. Saturday Triple M NRL. James Hooper, there's some plan in terms of the media appearances of players in the Blues jerseys before State of Origin. Talk me through it.
Well, we know Freddie Fittler walks to the tune of his own beat. He likes to think outside the box and do things differently. Boom. And so, look, overseas, Tony, in the NFL, for example, in Super Bowl week or in the NBA.
All-star weekend.
The media, same with the baseball. The media are given this fantastic carte blanche, open door, just green light access to all players, basically right up until the day of the game. And so Freddie obviously is a keen follower of overseas sports and the way that they do business. And he's decided that the Blues this year, leading into game one in Melbourne, that they, the day before the game, every single New South Wales player will be available to be interviewed by whichever media would like to interview them. And that's a huge shift in thinking because normally you only get the coach the day before the game and the captain the day before that. So you've got to give Freddie a rap. I love the fact that he's thinking a little bit differently.
Yeah, it always does.
It is brilliant. All right, tonight, of course, as you know, it is the royal wedding. Did you know it was the royal wedding?
I found out yesterday. Yeah, Dan told me last night on the show. But, yeah, I wasn't aware, Tony, to be honest.
Are you serious?
And I feel a little bit silly about that, but I just haven't
You're
really
not
been...
aware that there's a royal wedding on
I
tomorrow,
knew that there was. I knew that there was sort of a... He got engaged and all that sort of stuff, but I wasn't aware it was today and there was a whole lot going on about it, no.
Okay, well, there is a royal wedding, and look, I'm not that interested, to be honest with myself.
Am.
You are? Okay. All right, well, it made me think about maybe we could do it in this.
Ladies and gentlemen, three,
in five. Oh, I love Tony Sessions. I love the three and five.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 3 and 5.
It's a loose connection at best to the royal wedding, a loose connection. So there are three lots of questions for you, gentlemen, which are very, very simple. I will start with, given we're talking royalty, I'll start with you, James Hooper. I would like you, within your 5 seconds, if you could please name three NRL players with regal names.
Scotty Prince, Matt King, Max King, Jason King.
No.
What do we know?
Can't keep going the Kings.
No, you just can't call all the Kings. There'll only be one King.
Yeah.
How many Kings can you have?
Yeah, King Wally I would have also accepted. Oh, King Wally Lewis would have been good. Scott Prince. Would Chris McQueen? I would have gone.
Oh, that would have been great too. That would have been
that's the one.
Yeah.
Still, I'm going to give you 3 points there. Three points. Well done. All right. This is for you, Ryan Girdler, and this is obviously the easiest question you've ever been asked. Name three English monarchs. Stop the clock. Do you know what a monarch is?
I'm going to say William.
Well, okay, start the clock.
William, Harry, and Andrew. Edward.
There you go.
There I go.
Edward's good. They have to be king rather than princes, you know, we're talking about here. The king or a queen. So there's a thousand of them. But
Henry.
Henry's
He's
good.
He's got Henry.
He's got Henry. I'm going to give you. Oh, there you go. That's a bit late. All right. It is romance. It's a wedding.
I love romance.
I know you do. So I've got three questions for you. Within your 5 seconds, hold off on the clock until I ask all three. I want you to name me your wedding anniversary date, Tara's birthday, and Valentine's Day. What are the dates?
14th of February, Valentine's Day. 8th of December, I think I got married.
They say romance is dead.
That's 5 seconds.
Actually, it was. I did, yeah, so 2.
8th of December. And Tara's birthday is?
June the 26th.
Congratulations.
Yeah, 1973. She looks good for her age. Good vintage, Tara. I've chosen well. No work done.
Shortly. Saturday, Triple MNRL. Now, what a great pleasure to welcome to the show the coach of the New South Wales Blues, Brad Fittler. G'day.
G'day.
How are you? Where are you?
Mate, I'm just at Avalon, actually. I just watched my young bloke play a game of footy, and it was a cracking game, actually.
Would he look out of place in a blue jersey?
Well, if he keeps progressing. If he keeps progressing, he's pretty good.
Who's he playing for, Freddie?
He's playing for Marlborough Raiders, and actually they got pipped on the bell. The other team scored a try after the bell to win the game, so it was a pretty cracking day of footy.
That's a good breeding ground, the Marlborough Raiders. That's where the Turbo brothers, the Trebojeviches, are from.
Yeah, Jamie Lyon was up there, Matt Ballon. I think all their kids were playing up there. Joey's kid was there when he was on the Northern Beaches. There's a few there. I think Ivan Cleary's young boy's coming back when they move back next year. Jason Deep's kids are there.
Wow.
Beautiful.
That's amazing. Speaking of Ivan Cleary's kids, did you enjoy Nathan Cleary? What did you make of his comeback?
You know what? I thought it was a really mature comeback. I think if anything we're waiting to see from Nathan is that sort of next step where he's going from, you know, that young bloke is a really good player to someone who just steps up and controls what he can. And he did. I thought he was outstanding. He didn't flinch with his knee. He got really fatigued at times. And I thought, if he wasn't so tired the time he supported Jimmy to the line, I thought he was through, and you know, he would have 2-on-1 with the fullback. That would have been a pretty good comeback story. But I think all in all, everything he did was quality.
You touched on Jimmy there. You're obviously talking about Jimmy Maloney, and in the lead up to that game Thursday night this week, there was a lot of talk about the fact that he's not going to be an automatic selection for the Blues. I think a lot of people had his name in pen, but there's some areas of his game that you'd still like to see him sharpen up, Freddie, or where's it at?
Well, I saw the stats in the paper today, and he opened the paper on the way home, and, you know, the missed tackles. And I think Queensland have caught him out before with his defence, and I think a couple of times this year in games that he's been caught out as well. Now, he's a fantastic player, and, you know, he's always considered Jimmy, and I think, but everyone, you know, needs to improve, especially if statistics are showing that you're missing more tackles than anyone else in the game. So, but without a doubt, you know, watching what he does with the ball, he just seems to have this, this confidence where he just seems like he's never beaten. So I don't think any team could, wouldn't want that in their side.
Yeah, certainly no questioning what he can do with the ball. He's been a fantastic boy for the Panthers. What about another bloke who plays in the same position as him and looked very strong last night, Luke Keary for the Sydney Roosters? What did you make of his game against the Broncos?
Yeah, I thought it was excellent. I thought, especially as a 5'8", you know, that supporting role he does so well. He was a bit unlucky the time Cooper Cronk went through. He got, I think Matt Lodge. Yeah, someone got a bit of a hold of him. I thought that was 2-on-1 with a fullback as well, and I would have backed him to be maybe one of the wingers to the line. So I thought he was dudded there a little bit. But his game was sound, you know. And the big thing is that he does really well is defence. I think he stands up to all the big guys, and he bent a couple over yesterday. I thought his defence was, you know, strong. You know, it wasn't, you know, when you're a little bloke, you sort of, and you've got 110 kilo fellows that can sidestep running at you. Like, if you can get away with coming off without being HIA'd and tries being run over the top here, you've had a good game. And I thought he did better than that last night.
And Bradley, obviously, combinations are key when you move on to the next level, and that's exactly what Origin is. And you could have a guy like, you know, Keary there, and on his outside, there's talk about Latrell Mitchell putting his name in the bracket, and there's also on his inside a guy called Borg Cordner that'll probably lead the Blues around. So does that come into consideration?
Yeah, it's funny, Gertz. We did a study at the start of the year, and there's a big thing on, there's a chain of thought going around about combinations and how successful it is in sport. And, you know, they put numbers to it actually now. It was quite interesting, and it sort of gets you thinking about combinations. And, you know, the luxury Queensland have had is the fact they normally get picked out of a couple of teams, and those teams have been great clubs, really. Brisbane, Melbourne and the Cowboys, you know, really well-financed, organised, you know, good management. So it's been a real blessing for Queensland. And, you know, that's, they're mostly going to get tested this year, although a lot of their players would have played together. But when you take away those key blokes who were, you know, the real, the nuts and bolt of that combination, then it's going to be different for them. But you're right, guys. I think anytime you can get combos where they're familiar with each other, just, you know, hearing the sound of the voice, you know, it's going to arouse something. So under pressure, it does help.
Latrell Mitchell, you mentioned there, Gerds, and of course on the other side last night, James Roberts, that was just a brilliant to watch those two going at it, and they would suit well, wouldn't they, on opposite sides of the field?
Yeah, good with it. You know, it's funny, you know, when you think about a catch-22 situation, both of them pretty much scored two tries and let into. It was amazing, you know, and like, when I look at Jimmy's effort when they, he skirted him on the outside, I think, well, I'm not sure who would have caught him there. And then Latrell's efforts were absolutely brilliant, you know, just finding space and then using his strength and all that. So, you know, just two really highly talented young fellas, and obviously still learning, you know, learning the game and working with people, because I think both got caught out just overthinking the other player. I think, you know, the both times Jimmy, well, he scored, set up the one off the scrum. I think Latrell was just panicking. I better get up here, and instead of communicating with people around him. And, you know, they're the things you've got to learn, just under stress, just working together. And, you know, they're the things that are going to get caught out in Origin. So, you know, hopefully it was a great game for them to learn something. So I look at the video and know what was going through their head. But I thought everyone at the ground was just thankful for being there, you know, seeing both those blokes in full flight at different stages. It made for a cracking night.
Well, Freddie, I can understand why New South Wales are favourites now. You've got, honestly, you've got James Roberts. You've got James Roberts, Latrell Mitchell and Josh Adokar. Mate, you must be impressed with the way that Josh Adokar has come along in the last 12, 18 months.
Mate, none of them have played a game, Wendell.
But that strike power, that strike power and the form that you guys have, mate, you're going to be tough to beat.
I love it. I've got to say, watching Josh Adokar, and there's been some games where I reckon people walk away and just say, well, you know what? I saw him in full flight, and, you know, he hasn't let a lot of crowds down, really, Josh Adokar. And also, you know, when you're talking both sides of the field, and I've really, you know, respected what he's doing in defence. He's worked out, I think, how to use his speed as his weapon in defence.
Yes.
And, you know, I think that's something that doesn't come easy, to back your speed and not to panic. And he seems to be doing that really well. So, but, you know, he's obviously, unless we pick Curtis Scott, he's going to come in and have a new combination. So, if he plays.
We know that, as we just mentioned then, that the Maroons, they do like to talk themselves down. But in the reality stakes, they are a bit. But in the Fed Income Department, Freddie, Queensland is not going to be a harder nut to crack without Cam Smith than they were with him. Is that true to say?
Well, I'm only going off instinct. I was sitting in Melbourne when I got told, next to Craig Bellamy, and he told us the news. Now, my first reaction was, oh, no. You know, I've been thinking a long time, how am I going to counter Cam Smith and what he brings to the team? And, you know, sometimes the devil you know is better than the one you don't. I'm not saying it would have been any easier or harder, but I think the challenge got harder in my eyes because, you know, gives all those Queenslanders a chance to say, oh, yeah, here we go. We're going through a huge change when they're going to have about two new players and we're going to have about 10. So somehow we'll be $1.50 favourites, I'd say. And,
yeah. Melbourne's closer to
the game of winning the money. Like, you know, that's the state of origin. Let's just give them everything.
And Melbourne is closer to Sydney than Brisbane, so I can understand that. That's why, you know.
Hey, Freddie, what about where do things sit in relation to a player like Andrew Fifita? He's one of the form players of the competition at the moment. He came out and declared that, you know, Tonga was going to be his first preference. And then now we've learned that under the rules, he is available for New South Wales for game one and game three if you decided to go down that road. Where do things sit in relation to Andrew Fifita?
Yeah, it's a tricky one. At the start of the season, I was very adamant that if he wanted to play for Tonga in game two, understanding that he wouldn't be able to play Origin, then it didn't sit well with me. As I'm looking at our team and you get injuries, you start, you know, this, without doubt, you start to think, you start to panic, and you start to sort of think, well, we might need that, we might need this. I'm going to give it another week. I still feel pretty strongly about the decision he made, but I'm going to give it another week. It's something I've learned from the start of this whole process is things change really quickly. And, you know, I've got to say, from the team I sort of, you know, assumed that might have been the team we're going to play with in February when we first met with all the coaches is a vastly different footy team than the one playing. And
wow.
Also, my opinion on, you know, how we're going to play and, you know, and then once again, our opposition. So things change very quickly. And I do got to appreciate like, a lot of, there's been so much talk about Origin and the players that I think the club coaches are handling it pretty well because I know it can be a distraction. And but the one thing we do ask is, you know, if they keep aiming up for their club, then we're going to look at them and hopefully give them a chance to play Origin. So it's the same mentality of being good for your club will work, being good for your state.
Right. It sounds like it could come down to a pretty interesting shootout next weekend across the NRL. It's be brilliant. Hey, Brad, it's so good to talk to you. I really look forward to have a chat across the Origin series as well. Thanks so much, mate.
Good on you, fellas. Have a good afternoon.
Thanks, mate.
Will do. There he is, yeah. Freddie Fittler. So, line not yeah. through Andrew yeah. Fifita.
Not at all. No. Not at all. Okay.
You know, I love when Freddie first started coaching? Well, you know when that picture of, like, how easy is this? Like, he won 8 in a row.
Yes.
And then it sort of changed.
Exactly.
But no, I love his attitude. He's going to be great for Origin. You know, very refreshing attitude. I love it.
Another great Peter Sterling is striding into the studio. He joins us next on Saturday Triple M NRL. Jazz rocking the footy on a Saturday afternoon on Triple M. We're about to be joined by Peter Sterling. Before you hear that wonderful voice, James Hooper, what have you got for me?
Yeah, just a little bit of news around this game coming up between the Gold Coast Titans and the Newcastle Knights. So Bryce Cartwright's been in the headlines all week, and he was initially named in the extended reserves. Well, he's made the team. He will play today. He'll start from the interchange bench in jumper number 18. Kevin Proctor won't play, which means Ryan James moves from the front row to the back row, and young Max King will start in the front row. And for the Newcastle Knights, Daniel Safiti is going to start in the front row, Tone, and Herman Essiesi goes back to the interchange bench.
Wow, okay, that team news. Of course, any injury reports you hear will bring to you thanks to Skilled Certified. Sterlo, what, Bryce Cartwright, is he back in?
I've got nothing for you now. James Hooper's just giving you the whole preview of the game. And that's interesting news, isn't it? Obviously, Kevin Proctor coming out of last week in a distressed state, and we see Cameron Smith on the sideline this week because of that. And, it's going to be a tough afternoon for the Gold Coast. I think I can't believe they're favourites going in, to be honest, into this game.
Well, at home, they've got a good record against the Knights and certainly up there, so it will be interesting. I want to get your thoughts on a couple before we drill down into that game a little bit later on and drill down into Peter Sterling with his personal mastermind very shortly.
You must be feeling a little bit unlucky, though. I mean, if you're a guy like Conrad Harrell, who's still struggling to get back into that side, and you know Bryce Cartwright's getting the nod, and you know you must think, well, what have I got to actually do? Because he had some pretty good games at the start of the year, and you know Copley's in there and Lee's in there. He played okay last week, and I guess they led that Melbourne Storm side at half time. I guess on the back of that form, he's thinks that these guys can go on and do the job. But I'll tell you what, Connie Hurrell, I mean, gee, if you get him playing well, he can be of use.
Yeah, I just think it's a great opportunity for Newcastle. I think they can play finals football. The Gold Coast can't. You've got Newcastle 5-5 at the moment. And if they are to play finals football, this is a game, the type of game they have to win. You know, if they can cause a couple of upsets against higher place sides, but if they're going to play finals football...
You think it's the style that they play, Pete, that will allow them to compete against the better sides, Newcastle?
Look, I'm doubtful they'll play finals football, but I've got no doubt that they're more of a chance than the Gold Coast are. Mm. And, I just think there's a confidence there now, and they play really well as a unit. I like the style of play. And, you know, I think we all put a line through them to some degree when Mitchell Pearce was ruled out for the season, but I think they've covered it better than I thought they would. And obviously the kid out the back has had a fair bit to do with that.
Yeah, amazing. Did you hear any of Freddie Fittler? We just spoke with him.
He's going great, isn't he? Like, for somebody who cannot escape a conversation of Origin football and everybody wants to tell him what the team should be, he sounds saner than usual, which is saying something. he's going fine. And you know, look, the one thing, and I know it's been spoken about many, many times, and he keeps saying it, is that the best advice he's been given is you don't pick your team now. It'd be interesting to know, with Freddie, if he had to name the side tomorrow, how he's situated in regards to that. But, you know, we've had some players fall by the wayside who I've got no doubt would have been there. Mm. And, you know, that'll have an impact. And we may lose another one, two, three players in the next 2 weeks.
Do you think, and you were heavily involved last year, Pete, and I think Loz came out early last year and sort of said, oh, there's a certain amount, these guys are going to be in my side. Do you think it's a healthy way that Freddie's done it by basically just going out and saying, I'm going to pick it on pretty much form? Incumbency for me doesn't really mean a lot. And just to put that sort of pressure on the guys right up until like next weekend, and then you're not really going to know if you're in the side or if you're out of the side.
Well, incumbency kind of goes out the window to some degree when you haven't had success, doesn't it? It doesn't hold as firm. So, and look, Freddie's got his own way, and it's important he does it his way, and that's how he's gone about it. You know, he's been really confident, but he hasn't confirmed, you know, players as such. Form is obviously the ideal way to be going into it, but I think, you know, we've got to be really careful too. Origins only come around very rarely. You only play 3 a year, and it's a long time until the next series, and winning and losing is so important that I don't know whether you can just go with a clean slate. You know, I think incumbency to some degree comes in just because of the experience factor of being there and knowing what's to come. And you know, but he has got a core of those guys, like Tyson Frizzell will be there. Jake Trbojevic will be there. You know, they were both there last season and played some great football.
Yep.
And there's a couple of other names in there as well. So, you know, you've got to still have a core group, even if they're young players, who've been in the arena instead of just going, you know, with, for want of a better term, a clean slate.
Yep.
On that theme of incumbency, Pete, there's been a lot of talk this week about James Maloney and the fact that at this point in time he's not an automatic selection. His name's not in pen. I think a lot of people thought that it would have been, considering the way that he started the season for Penrith. If you're Freddie Fittler, who are your halves in terms of the New South Wales Blues?
I would go Cleary Maloney. I think that, look, I can show you on video what the concerns are with Jimmy.
Defensively?
You go back to Bathurst and have a look at a couple of decisions there, and against Canterbury, a couple of decisions there. And, you know, if you're going to get caught out, you get caught out in Origin. And you know, Jimmy's been there before and, you know, has had some success, but not a lot of success, I suppose. So, you know, you come back to that incumbency thing. But he's an experienced player. I think players like playing with him. I think goal kicking is really important as well. Huge. You know, Origins tend to be tight, and he's faultless there. And talking combinations, you know, he's only played 3.5 games alongside Nathan Cleary, so it's not as though they've been together for a long time. They've had an off season together as well, which helps also. But I think that looks good. I thought Luke Keary was really good this week. Yeah. Maybe a couple of other players have been in contention, but you know, I tend to like Cleary alongside Maloney. I thought Nathan Cleary was excellent. There were certain things I looked for in his game in relation to how the leg was. Firstly, he kicked the football, and that standing leg, which is the one he's hurt. You know, if you're going to be vulnerable in a game, it's when players come through and you're kicking the football to wipe you out. There was no lack of confidence there. He had to catch and jink once to beat a player coming at him quickly. And there was no dramas, and he got in the clear as well, and didn't look inhibited by. So there were certain sort of parts of his game where you looked at and say, oh, well, he's as confident as. And I just thought he looked really good.
Pete, you mentioned goal kicking for New South Wales. Well, Queensland lost a goal kicker and a fair player as well in Cam Smith. What do they lose?
Well, they lose the most influential player in the game across the board. So it's an interesting... I came home from golf, and my wife said, "What about that? Cameron Smith retired." Mm. I said, "What? Gee, that's a big reaction to being put on the sideline for a week."
Yeah. You know?
So I've looked it up online, Selena. It's from Rep Football. Yeah, meant nothing to her, you know. But so I was surprised at the timing, like so many others. But I know exactly where he's coming from in relation to you get to a stage of your career when you realise you've got so much energy left to give and where you want to direct that. And very, very often it's back to the club. Now, I made the same decision, certainly not after an illustrious career like Cameron has. But I understand that. And he also mentioned last year's series. Now, if you go back to last year's series, he was almost anonymous in game one.
Yep.
In game two, he was kept quiet until the last 5 to 10 minutes. In game three, he showed his championship qualities and came out and really was the difference. You know, he came out and grabbed it. But over the three games, it was a different maybe influence and involvement than he'd had in previous series. And I'm just, you know, I think that might have had a little bit of a thought in his head about where he's at in regards to his football in general. But I completely understand him going back and wanting to devote all his time to family and to the Melbourne Storm, which are both family to him. But Queensland lose a player who regulated the tempo of the game, whose decision-making was better than anybody's. When they needed to kick early and long out of dummy half, he would do so. He'd change the momentum of the game. It's going to be really interesting to see who they bring in and how they approach it. It's got to have an effect. I was really interested to listen to Freddie saying that he thought the job was a little bit harder. Mm. When it comes to expectations, yes, it does. But, you know, when he's not operating things out of dummy half, then you've got to think that it's advantageous to the defensive side.
Remember, still, it is a hashtag talk the Maroons up. That's what we're operating on
here. Oh, mate, I was born in Toowoomba, you know. I will be if I need to.
Well, I'll find out if you're born in Toowoomba and how much more you know about yourself next when we play Peter Sterling, Personal Mastermind. Heading towards kickoff this afternoon, before they knew it, with Ryan Gertler, James Hooper, Tony Squires and Peter Sterling. Sterlo, before we get your thoughts on this game this afternoon, we are going to play a little bit of Peter Sterling, Personal Mastermind. Very simple operation, just a couple of questions to see how well you know your own career.
Well, look, can I preface it by saying it's a long, long time ago, and I know I've met you before, but I've already forgotten your name, so...
Well, my parents don't know who I am, so that's okay. Now, what you do know, should know, is that Ryan went okay, Wendell Saylor went very, very well. Very well, shall I say. All right, are we ready? Here we go, Personal Mastermind. Peter Sterling, how old were you when you signed your first contract, and what was it worth?
$9,000 over three seasons.
Correct. In what years did you win Dally M Halfback of the Year?
1986, 1988.
83, 84, 86, 87.
Okay.
How many tries did you score in your NRL career?
Not many. I played, 54.
58, very close. Your autobiography was released in 1989. What was it called?
I know Champions in there. I'm not sure that was the story of a champion or something.
Sterlo, the story of a champion.
Oh, well, Sterlo, that was understood. Yeah.
How many tries did you score for Hull FC?
10.
Yes. And what year did you join Triple M?
1959, 60.
Correct.
Been a long time.
In the thing that was my most favourite part of Origin Football on Channel 9, the Fractured Fairy Tales, what roles did you play?
I think I walked around Melbourne with a swag over my back, so who would that have been?
Would have been Dick Whittington.
Dick Whittington. I played Dick.
Congrats.
And I look like a dick as well.
I think it was just Dick, W-H-I-T is all it was on the day. Peter Sterling, congratulations. I love it.
That's an okay.
Yeah, that is. All right, gentlemen, let's get to this game. Gold Coast take it on Newcastle. Cbus Super Stadium, kick off 3 o'clock. We've mentioned briefly, you like Newcastle, Sterlo. You think they can get this job done, even though the record is not so great against Gold Coast in recent times.
Yeah, look, I'm not that concerned about the record because, you know, there's a lot of new faces in this Newcastle team over the last 12 to 18 months, and I think they go there as a pretty confident football team. If you'd have said to them at the start of the season, after 10 rounds, if you're 5-5, how would you feel about that? I think they'd be pretty comfortable with that position on what we've seen in the last couple of seasons. And now they've set themselves up to do the same in the second half. If they can win as many games as they lose, they'll play finals football. And this, as I said earlier, this is a game that if you to play finals football, you've got to beat the Gold Coast Titans, because I don't think they will be in the top eight. And I like what I've seen from Newcastle in recent weeks. I think that Nathan Brown has got them, he's coached them in a very easy style to play in, the high completion rates and just allow, you know, guys with a bit of flair to get involved when they need to. The forward pack has got some oomph in it, especially with Saifidi coming back in. So, yeah, I like them. I think they can win. Very rare that I see them going in as favourites, but this is one that I do.
And James Hooper, the news today on Bryce Cartwright is?
He's playing tone. Yeah, obviously... the injury to Kevin Proctor means Bryce is out there.
All right, there you go. That is it for us for today. Thank you so much for your company. Stick around as Triple M does what it does and rocks the footy.